Hey, my name is Launders, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. You playing audio on your phone, Brett? Is that you? Why don't you be a professional?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why don't you be a professional and put it on mute, all right?
Whatever, man.
I'll check mine. Hold up. Episode 49 is getting off to a very smooth start, if you haven't noticed.
I'm sorry.
And in fact, it's probably already the best episode ever.
Agreed.
So thank you, Brett.
No problem.
Coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, February 1st, 2017, of our Lord. The time, 8:27 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time. Is it Daylight Savings Time?
Something like that.
It gets dark earlier, whatever that is. We have a pretty good show for you today, but let me introduce the crew. Of course, I am Tim. You can find me on Twitter, at Pirate Mushroom. You got Brett, the old man who doesn't know how to turn off his phone. He is on Twitter, at Dallas Homer. What's up?
What's up?
And of course, we have the minority of the show.
Because it sounds wrong.
that's what it was. It was my tongue being like, hey, man, don't do that. Anuj is back. Anuj.
What up, buddy?
What's your Twitter? At Spiffy.
At Spiffy underscore VR.
VR. So go ahead and follow everyone there. And of course, always follow the show at The Center Ring on Twitter. That's where you will get all the show up to date. You will also see there on Twitter that all of us got gold, right? For our E-League trophy. All of us. So Brett, you got gold.
I got gold.
Anuj?
For which major?
We're talking E-League, man.
Oh, no, I got silver.
We'll talk about that. We won't let that go. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Just today, really, it seemed like a plethora of CSGO roster moves went into play. Just between Mouse Sports, rumors on FaZe, Optic, which kind of fizzles into Liquid or Cloud9, just NA in general. So the French aren't the only ones doing a shuffle here. So we'll talk about that. We want to give our final thoughts on the E-League major, send that off into the sunset with proper respects, see how the finals went, all that good stuff. It's going to be another CSGO heavy show. I apologize if it's not your thing. Whatever. It's good stuff. Next week and coming weeks, we'll get more into Overwatch, I promise. But when there's a CSGO major, that's...
got to talk about it.
It's going to take... it's like we get 4 Super Bowls a year, and that's what takes our priority. But we're going to get to E-news right now to start the show. And yes, I'm calling it E-news because I don't like yesterday's news today. It was too long and I felt like E-news just rolled off the tongue a little better. But don't fool yourself, because it is still yesterday's news today in E-news. I want to get to some Overwatch news real quick with the Apex Season 2 going on. It's in the Western culture, it's a funny story. So in Overwatch, a Korean team, Lunatic High, bans, and I'm going to totally butcher their names, Lee Tojun?
Sounds right.
And Dean from Apex Season 2 for inappropriate behavior with females.
Oh, man.
So they ban 2 of their players. And keep in mind, you only get 8. On the roster. So you ban 2, that means they have like no subs, or if anyone's sick, like they're done. Like they have to play with that roster. So they were banned from Apex Season 2 for inappropriate behavior with female fans. This typically wouldn't be a big deal, but this is in articles. I guess in the Korean culture, dating is a much bigger deal. So like when you're dating, you're basically committing yourself to them. And there is no, like, talking to other women. And that's what they were busted with, was talking to multiple women online.
You know what? Good for them. Holding the ground.
Good but for the organization or the players?
No, good for, like, the organization for holding
their
ground.
Hey, man,
yeah,
we don't...
like, you can't do this. Don't do it.
See, but I think we're kind of burying the lead here. The real story. that Overwatch players get women?
Dude, you've been to Dream. You've been to events, okay? Though there are some gamer sluts at events. They are everywhere. All you have to do is put pro in front of your name at anything, and you will get some girl interested. I promise you.
There's three in here.
That's right.
But we've talked about this, like just comparing CSGO players to Overwatch players and just looking at, like, you know, the top Overwatch players compared.
They don't have the same body type.
I don't think
that they are quite like Pasha just yet. Not yet. And then tons of CSGO roster moves, which I don't really know if you want to. I want to touch on all the roster moves right now in e-news just because they are pretty quick hits that I can get through. But as far as breaking them down and kind of the significance of them, we'll get to more in the show. But real quick, Mouse Sports dropped Chris J for Oscar. He's going to be the new Opper. Spitty is the new IGL as Nico is taking a step back from that role. Kind of putting a myth to where can IGLs also kill? Well, Nico was the best on that team. Optic Stanislaw signs with a mystery team. So we're going to speculate on that later on in the show. And FaZe invites Scream to play for them. In other CSGO news, Virtus Pro has now been officially the team to earn the most prize money in Counter-Strike history, where just about every one of them has earned over $400,000 in their careers.
Insane.
That is pretty insane when you consider, like, Counter-Strike is just now kind of getting into the big dollars.
But they're the godfathers of the league. What, they're all, like, 28, 29?
Yeah, no, they've all been around long enough.
But. So are we talking about $400,000
each
total?
Career, like, earnings.
Each of them have earned at least over $400,000. Neo with the top at $560,000.
This is prize pool money we're talking about only, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, this is just prize pool.
Not
this
salaries, endorsements.
And this is since they've been a professional.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just in general. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I feel like where the prize pools are going, they could probably earn that. And
well, some players do.
Yeah.
I mean, way that's what I'm saying. Counter-Strike is really behind on prize pools. And we'll get to it here in a second or during E-League talk, because Taz actually has an interview where he kind of touches on that. And there's been some talk online. Like Dota, you would win that in one TI.
As a third place team.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like the third place team is taking away $1 million in that.
The international is what, 20, almost like 20 million prize pool, isn't it?
Right. Well, okay, and it goes up every year because it's all like fan based or whatever you call it. Crowdfunded. There you go. That's some interesting stuff there. But let's get into those roster moves because they're just glaring at me in the face as far as the E-League major goes. It was said and gone. I kind of want to start though, how we kind of always start our major talks or big tournament talks. I do want to get into production. Like, how did we feel on E-League? I thought it was top notch. Biased opinion aside.
Yeah, I know, because our buddy Alchemist produced the thing. But I mean, I one of my favorite things to watch, and you know, when I was able to watch the major at home, I went to the E-League Live website, and it was cool because I could pick a player like Olaf on Fnatic, and I could just watch Olaf play and just watch his mouse movement and see what he did. And I thought that was really neat to have that, to be able to see an individual player during the match without, you know, switching back and forth, you know, between players, and maybe you miss some action because you can also watch all five of them at the same time.
Right.
As well. So I thought that was neat.
So I gave that E-League Live a shot once, but it wasn't working.
I had the same problem.
Yeah. Like the one time, like the camera angles, like you could pick all the cameras and everything for the match, but it wasn't loading any of like the live player
stats.
Nothing
was loading for me.
So I was kind of like, well, this isn't fun. I wanted the player stats.
The concept is cool, and I think it helps build a dedicated fan base because that's the issue. There's so many swaps, and it's hard to be a... People are a fan of players, you know, not necessarily organizations, I don't think, as much in esports right now.
No, that is true.
Yeah, we've...
Though I will say, so we had one of our listeners tweet me earlier in the week asking where he was like, hey, you know, I'm a big Overwatch guy, big C9 fan in Overwatch, but getting into Counter-Strike, he watched this for like kind of the first time. Like this major was like his first real go at Counter-Strike.
What did he think of C9 in the major?
He crushed it, really. They were so good. He was like, wow, I didn't even notice they were there. No, he did make the smart decision and not choose C9 as a CSGO team. which I did not know people did, first off. I didn't know people switched as far as, like, I'm a fan of Counter-Strike Overwatch, but not, or I'm sorry, I'm a fan of C9 Overwatch, but not Counter-Strike Overwatch. But he picked Virtus Pro and he asked, is that okay or is that too much of a bandwagon fan to just all of a sudden pick VP as my team? I told him no. I was like, VP is a perfect pick.
They're likable.
Yeah, you've never heard one bad thing about VP.
You see Taz coming on stage to quiet audiences down when they were booing Olaf, you know, at the major. I guess that was, what, a couple tournaments back.
Yeah. Sometime last year, I think.
Yeah, they're just a respectable group of players. So. Yeah,
but I bring that up because he decided to go with the team. Now, he used the excuse of, like, he likes Taz and all of them anyways, so he used the players to pick your team, but he is...
I think that's fine.
He's adopted VP.
He gets a pass.
Right. I will say every esports does this. This is not Counter-Strike exclusive. So I'm not going to, you know, just blame them. I absolutely hate the forehead cam.
Yeah. The facial cam?
Yes.
I don't mind it.
It's pointless.
Because, well, no, I like to see reactions, because how else are we going to see Kenny S freaking out, you know, after he loses an op duel or something like that. I like it. Now, some events do it where the camera angle
is just right. So... It's like if any of the players lean forward, it's like, and there's their forehead.
Yeah. And
can we do an episode on Brett's hatred for Kenny S at some point?
His unjust hatred for
Kenny S. His unjust hatred for Kenny S.
Right. You know what? I'll give him another chance. But it just seems like every time I watch him, he's throwing a fit.
That's just how he communicates.
He's dedicated.
Maybe it's because I have a 3-year-old at home and I'm just kind of put off by that.
I still think that's you bashing him.
Whatever, man.
Like, I don't think that's like, well, he just reminds me of my child. Like, I don't think that's helping your case of not hating Kenny S.
Stay tuned for episode 50. Brett hates on Kenny S.
That's what's going to be the milestone episode. No, so I don't get the forehead cam. They all do it and I get it. It's whatever. Whatever. Did you see the intro to the finals? By your non-facial expressions, I'm going to say no, you didn't.
No. It's not ringing a bell. Maybe it didn't stand out enough for me to remember.
I don't think they showed it on TV. You have to, like, go online and watch it.
Okay, maybe.
Dude, when we're done here, you need to go and watch it. It's on the E-League's website. It is awesome. It was way cool. And I was in Columbus live to see that major, and I don't remember that intro being nearly as... like done up.
When players come onto the stage?
Yeah, like thing, so or? Like it's like an intro video, you know, like you go to a sporting event and they have that intro video and stuff, but like there they had like a curtain drop from the ceiling and like the huge ass projection, and
that's awesome.
Really cool. Like it really got me hyped up.
E-League just did a good job. I mean, production value was great. I mean, they had the right commentators out there. I think just the whole value of what we got from E-League really sets the bar high for future tournaments.
As far as production and everything there goes, now, I know the big talk going in was like ratings, because it was going to be the first one on TBS and E-League and everything there. So I have some of the rating numbers here for you. Now, you know, and I like how all ratings, I feel like there's always some kind of asterisk to them as far as like, you know, you can look at the number, but there's a little bit more to the story than just the number. So looking on Twitch, it became the first broadcast on a single Twitch channel to break 1 million viewers. And like it had on like average concurrent like 800. Like it was ridiculous.
It hit 1.3, right?
I think that was the highest. And then they were saying the peak, and this is unofficial, but they're saying the peak between Twitch and TV, 2.2 million. Like, that was the peak at one point in time.
That's
there was
insane.
2.2 million. Now, there's no really official way of knowing that for the TV side, because that's not how TV ratings work. They don't really look at, they don't pull the peak and then give it to you. It's all about averages and everything when it comes to like TV and radio. So looking at TV, according to Showbuzz Daily, the E-League major clocked in at 228,000 average concurrent viewers. So... that's not, you know, it's pretty good for TV when you think, especially since it was like started at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Did any of y'all watch on TV?
I watched on TV.
Yeah, I did.
When it comes to esports, I always choose to watch on TV over online just because I want to support esports on TV.
Yeah, I mean, because
I'm a big
who doesn't
preacher.
Like, yeah, I mean, I have a massive TV at home. I want to watch this on my, you know, my 60 inch LED, but also you're supporting, watching it on TV, you're supporting you know, Counter-Strike and its growth. They need viewers on TV for it to progress.
You're letting the TV networks know, like, hey, this is serious. Like, this can work. Like,
exactly.
We're not just going to constantly go to Twitch. No,
so just to compare it, Dota 2, the international, had 295 peak viewers. Riot Games for League of Legends has had 580 for their last major event. So just to think about what Counter-Strike accomplished from this one major alone.
I would always think the TI creates such bigger people. But you know what, though? That's also the power of an FPS. I feel like to the casual fan,
everybody understands it.
It's easier to understand. It's, yeah. You know, it's kind of more or less attack and defend and without abilities and all that. Also, one thing FPS has going for it, no cosplay. Like, when I'm talking to my buddy who doesn't really follow esports or play video games, I'm always nervous when, like, ESPN is showing Heroes of the Storm or something. I'm like, please don't let this be your first impression where you see these fangirls dressed up as something weird or some dude wearing a dress or some type of cosplay that's just going to turn off the casual.
If somebody wore an Arctic Warfare outfit, I'm telling you, man, that could change my perspective on CS.
I think when it comes to the casual fan, like games like Dota or League of Legends, I think it turns them off because they're like, the hell is this like cat person running around?
And there's like, you know, 50 characters in these games. Right. If you don't play the game, you can't just get in and follow. You don't understand it that way. With Counter-Strike, blue versus red is the easiest way to look at it.
And there's no like talent tree or leveling up or any of this. It's very straightforward.
But then they buy it and start playing. Why isn't my reticle's on his head? Why am I not hitting him?
And that's the beauty of the learning curve in Counter-Strike. Yeah, but we talked about it the other day, Brett, where like you get all these poor saps buying Counter-Strike because they see the pros play, and then they get into non-prime matchmaking. You're like, sorry, bud.
Buy a deagle and auto.
Not the same game.
That road to rank 21 is going to be a long one.
Now, one thing though with the TV ratings that I was really shocked on. So I said earlier that, you know, for TBS, it averaged 228,000, okay? That was not the highest, though, for an E-League broadcast. The highest for an E-League broadcast was during E-League Seasons 2 Group D Final, which was Dignitas versus Optic. Do you want to take a guess on what the average viewer was for that game? Group D Season 2, Dignitas versus Optic.
I would have never guessed those teams to begin with.
When I read the article, it did not tell you what teams were playing. So I looked it up and I was like, okay, that had to have been like VP versus SK or some crazy
like
group
or
D.
Someone, yeah.
Right. Now the numbers is staggering, really. Like almost to the point where I'd almost think it's a typo. The average concurrent viewers for an Optic versus Dignitas Group D Finals, 402,000.
Oh my gosh.
It's almost double than what they got for the major.
That was higher
now Sunday
than
at 9 o'clock in the morning might have something to do compared to Friday at 9 o'clock at night. Maybe Optic just, I know Optic is huge. Like that fan base, the green wall is huge. I don't know about 200,000 more huge, but I didn't understand that. I was very shocked and surprised when I saw that was the rating, like that was the record for E-League. I didn't get it. Other than that, though, I felt like the entire tournament ran very smoothly. I feel like I've seen every player profile about 100 times. I can tell you exactly how, you know, Neo's family feels about him playing Counter-Strike. Other than that, any thoughts and opinions on the production or anything else before we move on to the actual play of the major and why Anuj was so wrong in basically every one of your predictions?
So close.
Even your backups were wrong. So me and Brett were in the top 1% when it comes to our Pick'em sticker challenge.
What's up, guys?
Anuj was like top 20%, I think, which I guess isn't bad, but you still suck.
I got silver, which I thought was impressive considering I got nothing right in the playoffs except for VP moving on. So at least my group picks were what saved me there.
So where did we leave off last time? We talked a little about the quarterfinals, but semifinals didn't happen yet, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, because I had SK going on to the finals.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so we had Astralis 2-0 Fnatic, which no one really thought that was going anywhere, right? Though, I will tip my hat to Fnatic. I didn't give them any credit against Astralis, but I didn't even have them making it out of playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
And one thing that's been kind of very hush was the rumor about JW going back, getting the gang back together. I haven't heard one thing about that. And that was supposed to be like, oh, immediately after the major, they're going to do this because you got like DreamHack Vegas coming up. You have, I think Katowice is coming up here shortly. So you have tournaments coming up to where like teams need to start making roster moves, which we'll get to in a moment because it's definitely happened. And then you're also getting in the semifinals real quick. You had Virtus Pro and SK Gaming. That was a really close one. I think Virtus Pro ended up 2-0-ing them, right?
Yeah, they ended up 2-0, but both games were very, very close.
I got to apologize to Fox. I didn't think he would be able to hang in there.
He was
the way
one of the
did.
Better players, right?
He was actually the best performing player on that team throughout the playoffs. So he stepped up. I mean, he did what he needed to do, and he'll find himself a home somewhere. It's not going to be
You don't think
on
it's
going to
be SK?
I don't. I think, I mean, it's already a done deal with Phelps. So Phelps will be on
Is
the team.
Is that done? I didn't know if that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's joining them now. He's
I feel like very rarely do stand-ins actually stay. Like, typically, because they're working on other deals and everything while they're standing in, because they don't think they're going to perform well, and then they do. And
I think Fox's preference is to opt, so he'll go find a home somewhere where he can do that. But he proved he could play either play style. So, he showed he's a player, and he still has it, and he'll find himself a team. I think Phelps will be a good addition to them, though. I think it kind of brings that family Brazilian mentality back to him. So
yeah, and you need a guy that can rifle too.
Yeah.
And moving on to the finals. The epic, probably most epic finals for a major. Astralis versus VP.
Hmm.
That's exactly who I had in the finals. The only pick I had wrong was Fnatic beating Gambit. I thought Gambit was gonna beat Fnatic. So I don't really have much to say because I knew everything that was gonna happen. But as far as like Astralis and VP, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on that just in general?
VP let it slip when they got overexcited. What was it, 13-6 at one point?
I think it was 13-6 at one point.
Right around there.
On Train. Oh, you're talking about on Train, right?
On Train.
The third map.
And they zoomed in on Taz after they had won that 13th round, and they show him look over and he is smiling. I mean, he's looking over and they're high-fiving, and it almost felt like that was it at that point. And that's right where it turned around, because I think Astralis stayed focused and kept grinding away, and they let it slip. I mean,
you can't do that in Counter-Strike either.
That was
though.
VP's tournament. That was they made a run. They pushed him to the limit. It was right there, and I just can't imagine how they feel.
Yeah, I mean, once they lost that Tech Nine round, where Astralis, they all bought Tech Nines and they just wrecked VP. I knew it was economy was broke and they were getting confidence and it was pretty much over from there.
So the weekend before the finals, so this is before they went into Fox Theater, this is before playoffs or anything like that started, Taz did an interview with Virtus Pro and everything. It was on their YouTube. I have the audio here. It's a minute and 30 something seconds, but I found it very interesting to hear Taz's comments on kind of what he thought of the E-League major thus far. So I want to hear that and hear your guys' thoughts and opinions.
I don't know. It's like the thing about majors, we are missing a lot of things. We are missing medals. We are missing bigger prize pool. We are missing even better computers, better hotels. It doesn't feel like it's a major. It feels like it's a normal tournament, which is called a major, because Valve agreed that this is a good event. It was run good, so guys, now you can have a major. But I think that major should stand for a lot more. It should be an event where I go and I'm like, whoa. Then I enter to the stage, I'm like, whoa. I go to practice, I'm like, this is amazing. This is something which I was expecting. No, we are here, we are E-League major. This is like E-League.
Just like
this
regular.
This is E-League season 3 with addition of major. And if you win, you will get a finish, you know, in your inventory, you will get major statue if you are quarterfinals or further. But for me, it doesn't feel as special as first Katowice event where you had 10,000 people roaring on the stage and the whole event was normal, like normal ESL event, but the stage and the reasoning behind the major with the biggest crowd up to date was something new. Nowadays it's normal with big crowd in majors and stuff like that. So I'm just hoping that Valve will understand that they need to really step up a lot and create something epic, not something just as addition to the event.
Thoughts?
So my thought is, yeah, I get it. You know, when they play in Europe and these stadiums are outside, you know, there's a lot of fans, but you gotta look at it on the flip side that, I mean, they're trying to make this a big television event. I mean, were they thinking, you know, I guess Valve, they're thinking about viewers outside of the, you know, the 10,000 they could get inside of a stadium and what the production value would look like. They need a product. They need a venue that's going to look good on TV. And I've watched some of those tournaments in Europe when they're outside in like a soccer stadium or what have you, but they don't look, to me, it
they
just
fit a lot more
look,
people, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, your crowd noise is louder, but I mean, they got to think about outside of that box that the sport is trying to grow. And, you know, the real thing that matters is the revenue outside of just what, you know, is there at the stadium. They got to think about production value, essentially.
I would really like to hear what his opinions were like after the finals, because like I said, this is before they even went to Fox Theater for the playoffs and all that mess. So this was when they were still playing in the E-League studio. So yeah, of course it's going to feel like E-League because you're in this. I'm just surprised because typically you hear players and you could tell it's just fluff answers, right? Taz isn't really known for being like holding back any emotions or anything like that, but I'm just surprised that how like straight up he was just like, whatever. It feels like a little
whiny to me, honestly. Like you said, it happened before they went to the main stage.
Like, what did you think was going to happen? You think the group stage with no crowd was just going to be...
What did you want, fireworks before you walked into right. an empty room? You know, so I think it would be interesting, like you said, to ask him now and see how he felt about it. You know, production value from a TV or viewership standpoint was great. I think inside the stadium, like you said, you felt the presentation for them walking in was fantastic. I think he gave his opinion too early, personally.
Well, and even when I was like, so at Columbus, it was at Nationwide Arena where the hockey team plays, and they basically had the stadium cut down the middle, but like hot dog style. So it was like the long way. And that was, I mean, that was full especially by the time Grand Finals rolled around on Sunday, it was every seat on that half of the stadium was full. And I felt like that still would have worked really well. I'm not sure why they decided, maybe like Brett, how you were saying, like maybe they weren't willing to risk having a bigger stadium and having empty seats. So they wanted to do something a little bit more intimate.
And I wouldn't mind an arena because you can still get, I mean, it's inside, you know, you can get your lighting right. You can get your crowd noise right. But I felt like watching that major on TV, it felt electric, electric. Like I could hear, you know, Astralis VP Astralis. You could hear the crowd noise. So I was hyped watching it. You know, I felt like it was a good atmosphere, even in that little, you know, what do they call it?
The theater.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like it was a good atmosphere. I mean, it's not outside at a stadium, but I mean, I felt like crowd noise was good. Yeah, I would like to, like you said, I would like to hear his thoughts after they went to the theater rather than.
And he mentioned something in there about like the prize pool and everything, saying how, you know, it's just a normal prize pool and everything there. I feel like as far as the community and even the pros, it seems like now are like winning 500,000 for first place is not that impressive anymore to them. Because I mean, even look at it, the WESG, which was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, that wasn't even a major. And Envious won that, and they won like 800,000, and that wasn't even a major. It was just a normal tournament. And I've always made the argument where you shouldn't judge a tournament by the prize pool, because all it takes is some one rich dude to make a tournament. Like some prince in Dubai one time is going to throw a tournament for like millions of dollars, yeah. Right? And all of a sudden, are we supposed to care more about that tournament just because of the prize pool? I don't think so. I'm sure some people think otherwise, but I think it's getting to the point now where, okay, Valve, if you're going to want to try to hype these up in a weird way, winning $500,000, I mean, you win more on game shows.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you as far as prize pools. Not really, having any effect on me, but it does have effect on players, because if there's a prize pool like $400,000 or $500,000, players may play a little bit more loose. Like, okay, you know, it's $500,000. I'm going to go in and, you know, I'm going to be aggressive here. I'm not going to try and play this slow. I'm going to try to play this pug style, where, you know, if there's a bigger prize pool, you know, a bigger stake, players may play a little bit more tight. You know, it's going to be a little bit more tense for them, which will reflect in the product. But I mean, it's going to get there, because, you know, these record breaking numbers from that tournament, and then that's going to bring investors. You know, we've talked about this from previous episodes. You know, some high profile owners are, you know, buying stake in these teams, and they're going to want to monetize it. So it'll get there. I mean,
do you think if it was like a $10 million prize pool and there was more pressure on the line, that Estrella still would have won?
I think, yes, you still would have gotten your silver medal.
Yeah.
No, I think Astralis would have won, because everybody on that team was just going ridiculous. I mean, Device, you're looking at here, I'm looking at like the top performers right now, and Device owned two. He had the best KD in the major in general. He had the most kills, 290. His KD was plus 77. Then you had Zipnik over there, who had total assists 63. And then Kirby, he had the most highest headshots. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 guys had like top stats in there.
Yeah, where was he on the rating for overall rating? He wasn't top three.
I don't have that in front of me. Hold on.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, Zipix, Device, Glaive, Kirby, they all had their clutch moments too. It just wasn't one person doing all the work. That team is just, they're going to be good for a while, and they're all super young too.
So Device top five, he was fifth with 1.22.
No, so he had an incredible rating. Yeah. Still.
So that followed Code Zero for comparison. Cold Zero 1.31. Continue your thought, Brett.
No, I finished.
Oh, okay then.
I'm going to have a thorn moment over here and get all butt hurt. Thanks for cutting me off.
No, so I think Astralis, apart from, like, it's so weird, because if you look at the stats and everything, like, you'd be like, of course Astralis was going to win this. Like, why wouldn't they? But like you said, Anuj, like, people are saying that, you know, Virtus Choke, you know, screwed it up. Like, they're saying Virtus Pro lost it. I don't know. I know, like, at a time, there was a time where, like, you wouldn't dare play Virtus Pro on Train. Like, I think you have some of the map stats over there. I feel like, in my opinion, you're in a grand finals at a major. People overhype and they talk way too much about map stats. Like, you're going, it's Virtus Pro versus Astralis. Neither of, yeah, they might have their preferred maps, but like, dude, it's number one and two in the world going at it right now. I don't think Astralis playing Virtus Pro on Train is going to worry them at all. Like, they're equally, like, they're all top.
Talent-wise, they're all in the same boat.
Exactly.
You know, the map pool didn't make the difference in that game. And it did feel like a choke, though. When you're up that kind of a score, you know, you talk about Liquid being the prime example. It would have been the typical Liquid choke. I mean, they choked it. When you're up 13-6 in a final match, game three, you know, finals, that's choking it away.
And do you think that's mental or...
It's the game. I
mean, you mentioned Taz was smiling and it looked kind of loose. Is there a lack of victory formation in CSGO?
No, it's just the amazing thing about CSGO is a game can turn on one round. You know, a casual fan maybe doesn't understand the economy as well and how important it is to the game, but a game can turn very quickly, and that's the amazing thing. One loss can put you onto a save. That save turns into another round. If you lose another round, then you reset all over again. So the games can turn quickly, and at that kind of a level, everybody's an outstanding player. You know, everybody's making plays, and right. So either team,
yeah,
really
like I don't feel like if Astralis is looking at VP's roster or vice versa, do you think any of them are like, oh, thank God it's only Snacks being the last one alive. We can handle him. Like, no, at any given time, like, any of these players can pull out some crazy clutch.
Who was it that came out and said, maybe it was Dupree, don't quote me on that, but came out and said, you know, we're not afraid of him. We're not afraid of anybody we play.
It was Dupree.
You know, and so they all probably feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, Dupree can come out and say, like, oh, yeah, we're not afraid of anyone. But you can almost interpret that as we respect all of them equally.
Yeah.
Well, whether or not you want to say you're afraid of them or you respect them equally in the sense of you take them serious.
They all feel like if they play thing. At the top of their game, they have a chance of winning, right?
Yes, agreed. And as they should, especially with Astralis, because this is the best they have ever finished in anything meaningful, really, because they were known for being, you know, semi-finalists forever. Like, it was a running bit when they were TSM, like, just put them in the semifinals, but don't, you won't ever see them at past that point.
You think Taz feels the way he does about this tournament because they only walked away with $150,000, which is pretty, you think about it, these guys make $25K a month. So $150,000 split for them is, you know, it's really nothing at the end of the day.
No. And but so, keep in mind that all that was said before he did win that.
Yeah.
But to your point, I mean, yeah, when you do look at second place, you're like, well, damn.
Yeah, like 150. Like, these guys are making that with endorsements and everything within a few months. You know, they're making crazy money. So the majors do have to add that level to it. I think production value was great. I don't think they have to change any of that up necessarily, but you do got to get the prize pools.
Yeah, for him to say
point.
Stage presence and all that.
Yeah, like, come on. You know, that was fine. I would like
what
boots.
Do you want?
I would like boots personally for players.
Boots?
Soundproof. Yeah,
I agree.
I think headphones are good enough. We all have noise canceling headphones at home. You know, if somebody's yelling at you.
Yeah.
Imagine 10,000 people yelling.
I agree. Well, it's happened before where a player has said, like, actually, I had no idea someone was behind me, but I saw the crowd's reaction or I heard them.
Yeah.
And so I just figured I'd turn around and then, like, it stopped a crazy push or something. Like,
yeah.
That's been said before, and I agree with you. I don't understand what's more effort in putting sound booth.
Just like, make it happen.
Just put a nice sound booth in there. I think it looks good, too. I mean, it
even potentially some sort of, like, you know, one-way mirror kind of thing where the audience can see them and they can't see out. Because you don't want these games to be tilted in any way. Yeah, as long as we can see them, they don't need to see the audience. Cool. You know, now, maybe they work off of the hype a little bit too is kind of nice. But if you truly want to make it fair across the board.
Right. No, you know, I'm with you. You're not alone in that train of thought. And you got to think at, you know, in the perfect world where esports all of a sudden becomes popular and stuff, they're going to have monitors around stadiums with stats and a map and everything to where, you know, it's not just going to be a one perspective where you are looking at the players and the players are looking at you. It's going to be like a 360 arena.
Yeah.
You know, they've done it with Dota before where, like, the screen is over them. So, you know, everyone around the stadium can see and the players can't see that, but
you go to a typical Mavericks game.
Yeah, I've played around with the idea of doing one-way mirrors for booths. I don't know if it's overkill or if, like you said, I'm sure the players would complain, but what don't they complain about?
It's always something.
I want to get here, though, with some of these roster moves that were going down today, just while we're in the talks of major, because there's two things that always happens after majors, and one of them is roster moves, and the second one, I just said there was two things. I really don't know the second thing. So, roster moves going on. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Mouse Sports, just because there's not really...
It's kind of a done deal, right?
Right.
So, you know what's happened there.
There is no mystery there. It's Chris J was released or benched, however you want to say it, for Oscar, who was on Mouse Sports reserves. He was kind of on the bench. And then Spitty is the new IGL replacing Nico, which people were, I mean, I was surprised when I heard Chris J, because when you think of Mouse Sports, you don't think of Chris J being the problem.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there since 2013.
Right. Ironically, they say that an IGL you typically see with poor performance because they're so focused on IGL. And so what does Mouse Sports do? They give their worst player IGL.
But Nico is underperforming his IGL, I feel. He hasn't been at the same level the past few months as he was. Think about the hype around Nico 6 months ago. He was god tier in the game. I think that's kind of come back down to reality a little bit since he's taken over those duties, because there's a lot more to think about in each game. He needs to focus on what he does well, and that's fragging for them. So I don't mind them making the IGL change. What I disagree with is maybe Spitty staying on the roster altogether. I think that would...
And that's what I'm saying. It's weird that they would give him IGL.
Yeah.
It's like, he's your weakest... Being that they made these roster moves, Spitty would be the next person to go for me.
Yeah.
And so to give him an IGL where typically your IGL is going to be your guy on your roster for a while because you don't want that position changing as often, mm-hmm. it's weird to me that they would give it to Spitty.
I think it would only make sense is if it's one of those things where it's a last ditch effort for him to show that he can bring something to the team. Because if he comes out and becomes a fantastic IGL, leads them to some wins, or at least gets them out of a group stage, then he's contributing in more than ways than just fragging. I think if he shows that he fails in this aspect of the game, then there's he really nothing. Brings nothing to bring. And
maybe
so,
that's what brings back Chris J.
Yeah. Well, Oscar's an opper, though.
Yeah, so. But wouldn't you rather have a rifling Chris J or rifling Oscar over a Spitty in general?
Maybe not. I mean, have we really seen Chris J?
I haven't even seen
without
him
a
rifle.
Without an op in his hand?
You can make a move, whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, I watched him in the major, and I felt like he... His positioning wasn't really on point, Chris J, and he, like, I felt like every match I watched, he was whiffing shots.
They were the worst team in the major to me, even over a Flipside or a Hellraisers. I mean, maybe it's because of how disappointing it was. Yeah, for sure.
Wasn't Oscar on Hellraisers?
A while ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, at one point, yes, you are correct. I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but yes, you are correct. He was on Hellraisers at one point.
Yeah, I felt like it was just Nico just slamming his fist down because you watch him and you could tell at the last couple events he's been frustrated.
He knows he's the best, though. That's the thing. Nico knows he's Mouse Sports.
Yeah.
And so he can kind of call the shots with that team. And I know he even tweeted out basically saying, like, hey, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Which kind of led to the fact of, like, I'm the one making these decisions. Like, bear with me. I know what I'm doing. Please don't freak out. It wasn't an easy decision, blah, blah, blah.
So that happened. What else do we got here?
You want to talk French shuffle or lack thereof?
It's happening. I'm sure we all saw Decay's post, this magical Decay, the unicorn.
Knows everything.
I think I've seen every... I feel like everything I read is, like, scream going...
To every team.
Team, I swear. Yeah.
Well, so what?
Scream
it's
to Optic.
Scream making his own team.
Scream to FaZe.
Scream to FaZe.
Scream to play with Nico.
Yep, I heard that. Why doesn't he just go to Mouse?
Scream to Cloud9. No, I'm just kidding.
Then you have Scream Envious, of course.
He's going somewhere.
Yes, he's going somewhere, apparently. And
he'll have
FaZe
his choice.
Was the one who made its first move because Scream wanted to make his own team. And now FaZe went in there and...
Who could he make it with right now?
That's what I don't get. Why would you leave? I mean, yeah, G2's not doing that great, but surely they're a better roster than what you can just pick up off the
free
market.
There's not enough available free agency, I guess you could say, unless you go into buyouts, which then it gets into speculation, right? Because then this could be anybody technically.
Yeah, and then that's no fun.
He'll have his choices. It'll be fun to see where he goes. The most exciting part of this is... getting a true, like, the French superstar team together, minus Scream. I believe we all could agree that maybe Scream should be on that team, but I think putting a roster together with Shox, Kenny S, Apex, they'll have a core group, I'm sure. NBK, we'll find out who's the fifth, do we know? Or who we could speculate it to be?
I would have to imagine it would be another one from G2. I think the only people that you would see from...
Well, it's not RPK, probably. It's not going to be Smits, obviously.
So who do you have on Envious that you
so
would...
You have...
You got Kenny S.
Apex, NBK. And then that leaves you with Shox.
Shox would definitely have to be on it.
And then five. I don't get how Scream fell out of the equation here, but he was their best player in 2016.
I feel like... Every Counter-Strike team could find a place for Scream on their team.
Right.
This is true, but he's also been, to me, like he's the Wanderer. Like, he's been on a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So whether there's some underlining tones to that of, like, he's a headshot machine and he's really good, but maybe when it comes to strats and team, it's kind of like he's not there for the team.
He's a showboater.
Right.
But that, you know, again...
Right, but when teams are looking at who do they want to play with, that might be a factor.
So they'll find a fifth, but that'll be a fun swap, I think, for fans of the French scene. I think they're going to enjoy this, and it'll be something that a lot of people have been waiting for a long time. And let's see what they produce. I think that'll be a good one. Obviously, we have, you know, Alige possibly moving around. It's been talks of now Optic or C9.
Well, and who knows what's going on in the NA scene, because there you have Optic making, well, that wasn't even Optic making the move.
It was, a shocking move. I think it right. surprised everybody.
It even surprised Optic in the sense of Stanislaw today. It was announced today that Stanislaw, just a couple hours ago, really, Stanislaw is no longer in Optic Gaming. Optic Gaming, who is there? Now, I do have audio here. So, Anuj, do you want to hear the audio first? So that way...
Let's play the audio to tee it up.
Okay. So we got audio here. It was announced on Optic Gaming's Twitch. Basically, it was Tarek and Rush kind of talking about the major, and they were talking about how they found out Stanislaw left.
So we got back home and we're going to start practice today, but unfortunately we got some pretty sad news that Stanislaw decided to leave the team. We were getting out for practice, he was 30 minutes late, and we messaged him like, what's up, dude? He said, I signed with another team. And we're like, what? Like, we knew there were some talks going on, but we thought that he would stay with us because we talked to him about it. Hector talked to him, and I thought everything was cool. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, this comes, and honestly, it hurts a lot. To me, one of the worst parts about this is that Peter was our IGL, so it's really hard to come by IGLs, especially in NA. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to look for Fists and see if we can get someone to fit his role, or maybe even get someone within our team to IGL. We'll see what happens, but we'll keep you updated and everything.
So there you have it there, where, I mean, Rush said, they caught them so blindsided in the sense of they were going to practice. He was 30 minutes late going to practice, and they were just like, hey, buddy, everything okay? What you doing? And then all of a sudden, he was like, yeah, about that. I signed with another team. Not even like, man, I'm done. I'm sorry. It's I signed with another team, which is a mystery at this point. So that's we can get into the speculation on that. I just kind of want to talk about first him leaving in that manner. And I don't know if it was in that piece of audio, but Rush was saying how there's been talks of him leaving, like within the organization. And he talked to Hector, who is like the CEO of Optic. And they were under the impression everything was good. You know, they were going into the major with second place. And I think they're still, what, top five or something like that. So they're still a top team, top NA. And he just, you know, roster move. Just decided to switch up and leave. Right now, HLTV has a four.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane. You don't see a roster move like that from IGL.
Not like that.
To just step away.
Like, Envious is top 10, and they're doing their moves. You got SK, who's top 3, but that moves has been in the works forever, like with Fox leaving and everything. You don't hear about a ninja roster move.
I mean, he obviously took notes from Fallen.
Definitely.
And they must have communicated before. There's no doubt about it.
do it behind your organization's back and sign with another roster.
I think this is going to hurt Optic, at least in the near future, and until they figure out
the adjustment period is going to be, killer. I mean, blindsided. So not only were you ready, like they didn't even want a new IGL. They were comfortable with who their IGL was, and then he just was like, deuces.
Yeah, because if you look at them before the major, they were like, they couldn't get beat. Like, they were winning every match. And then now you're out in IGL. You have to find a new IGL and just learn what that guy likes to do, right? So, I mean, yeah. I mean, and the way that goes down, that's just shady, man. Just
feels wrong.
I mean, you spend hours with these guys because this was already... this wasn't just a deal where it was like, you know what? I'm gone. Peace. You know, they just called me and... you know, I couldn't pass up this deal. This had to be in the works. And so you were practicing with your, you know, with your teammates all this time. And
well, I cut out the audio too, where Rush, it was really depressing. Rush was saying like one of the toughest things is that like he's played with this guy for like a year and a half now, 2 years. He's like, I thought we were friends. I thought there would be some mutual respect.
Yeah.
And like you said, Brett, you had a disappointing major. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, guess what? There were 8 other teams who had a really disappointing major.
Yeah.
Okay. Navi got knocked out first round of playoffs. They
Only
had
one
a
team
disappointing
was happy.
Major.
Only one team walks out happy at the end of the day, right? The winner.
You talk to Virtus Pro. They had a disappointing major. There's one team that's happy, and that's Astralis.
And Optic has been on the rise, you know? So it's not even like they had been falling off a little bit, and then it led to a bad performance in the major. Prior to this major... they were on the up and up. I mean, their last few tournaments had been stellar. Everybody looked at them as the top NA team. They looked like they lived the life. I'm sure if you haven't seen it, go check out their gaming house video. It is insane. And as hockey fans, like all of us are, that's a place we all want to be too, you know? And so, I mean, it's surprising in the way it was handled. Tim, you had mentioned something really interesting to me earlier about a tweet that Hiko had sent out.
Oh, yes.
You kind of want to fill them in on that?
So there are tons of speculations going on right now where the Vague signed with another roster. No one knows, or at least before we started this show, I don't think there's been any breaking news, who this mystery team is. He didn't leave. He signed with another team. So speculation is, you know, the rumor last week we discussed, maybe Shroud leaving Cloud9, maybe this was a domino effect of it. Another one, which is my favorite, is possibly for Hiko. Hiko's out of Liquid, and Stanislaw is going to Liquid now. The reason this is really starting is because Hiko, who lives in Michigan, okay, he left Atlanta, went to Michigan, all of a sudden tweeted out a picture, or he tweeted out, maybe there was a picture, but he said, "Goodbye, Toronto, I'll miss you." And Optic Gaming is Canadian.
I saw that from a different perspective.
This is true, because everyone was saying, like, oh man, he was there. Like, he...
I think, what if he was recruiting him for Liquid?
And that's... I did not think about it from that angle, and it makes... That also makes sense, because, like you said, Elige is top quality, and he could have been worried that Elige was going to get up and leave, so
Nitro's been underperforming.
Yep.
It seems like that could be an easy out for them. They have to... Liquid has to make a move. Liquid is, at this point, I feel like they hit their peak.
They're stale.
They outperformed anyone's expectations in the majors, or at least most people's expectations in the major. I don't think they can feel... I don't think they feel like this roster is going to go any further than it has gone. You add Stannis, you remove Nitro. It makes a little bit of sense. You know, you bring
mix
in a solid...
Up. Yeah, and I feel like that's like kind of NA's MO is... Well, they don't really look for the best. Like, I think, Brett, you were saying before the show, where it was like, man, why would they add... why would they drop... At the time, the rumor was, why would they drop Hiko for Stanislaw? And it's like, that's NA, though. NA, they just look for the warm body.
Yeah.
And they say, let's see if this roster move works. Like, look at Cloud9 and, like, half the people that ran through them. Like, Slemmy.
Liquid has been dying for an IGL for a little bit now. They've tried new coaches.
Hiko.
They've tried Hiko. Hiko said he didn't like being an IGL, but it was kind of forced upon him. And it worked when Simple was there, because Simple is Simple, right? You know, he's gonna make any team look pretty good at this point. So that makes a little bit of sense to me. I think Hiko moving to Optic, there's better players out there. I mean, why wouldn't you just take Liege, right? I mean, I would rather have a Liege.
If it was that easy.
Money, Hector's got money. He's shown that.
Yeah.
I don't think...
OG is a, yeah.
Then why? Then think outside the box, because eventually I would like to see this, and I've said this, this whole NA thing and this whole EU thing, just I'd like to see it gone, because I agree with you, but I don't think it's
the organization's making that choice. I don't think it's Optic Gaming being like, oh, Scream's a free agent. Well, sorry, that's not going
to
work out.
You got to get him to relocate.
Yeah, because I look at Simple. Like, Liquid tried breaking that mold, bringing Simple over here, and that lasted all of one major. And he was like, no, I'm done. I got to go home.
But if you're money whipping somebody, I mean, don't make a move. Yeah.
It helps, but you got to remember they're kids, right? Like, I say kids, they're all in their young 20s for the most part. So to get up and be like, I'm going to abandon everything I know is difficult. I hope it happens too. I agree with you. I would love to see it.
Especially in an industry where, like, one bad tournament can be your roster spot.
Well, as an Indian guy in an interracial relationship, I'm all for it. You know, mix it up a little bit. Hey, it works. But it's a hard decision to make. I think it's...
And much like them, one screw up and you're done.
Done.
Like, it's...
Done.
You are the outliner here.
I'm constantly on edge, you know? And so I think in a dream world, it would be great to see a bunch of EU players come over here. A lot of it, I think, just depends on the player's decision at the end of the day. Money is there either way for them. They're going to make money in EU. They're going to make money in NA. It's just a big move.
Right, and I think that's one of the reasons there is.
Yeah.
They'd rather have money in EU.
But I see changes coming, and I think the changes will come once they figure out, and we talked about this a few shows back, once they stop the oversaturation, because with the oversaturation, you have to be near your teammates. There's so much going on and you have to be where their team house is, or, you know, where they practice or play. But it, you know, if there's less saturation and you're actually spending less time, you know, where you need to be to train, then it may appeal to more players outside of NA to come over and play.
They'll always be the one-off, the exceptions to it, right? Like the simple trying it out, possibly even a scream. I could see somebody like that doing it. I don't ever see a full blend, though, of like 10 NA players doing roster swaps and all of a sudden Cloud9 is, you know, half Slovakian, half, you know, whatever, and half American. But there will be the occasional player that comes down
here
to chance
it. And one of the issues is it's not just NA players coming over here. EU players coming over here. It's going to require some NA players going to EU, because that way you bump those players off of that roster. And okay, where do you go? We just took their spot. They got to come over here. It's going to have to go both ways.
Yeah.
And there's no way in hell an EU team is going to pick up an NA player.
There's a lot of roster depth over there, even in tier two with EU. They don't really need to
overseas.
There's the exception, you know, maybe somebody like Automatic or a Stewie, a Liege. But, you know, these guys are so embedded here and they're superstars here. So it would be a hard sell, I feel, unless the money is just insane. But I, like I said, I think money is both ways.
Right, and I agree. I think we'll see. I'm assuming rumors don't stay hidden in esports very long. I'm surprised this one was there. So I wouldn't be surprised if by tomorrow, which always happens, by the way, Anuj. I know you're new to the show. It always happens that when we talk about it, the next day, everything that we talked about is completely useless because
it's all happened.
The news will break by the time we get home tonight on who's joining who.
Shroud will leave the second we leave the studio.
Any final thoughts here before we wrap this up? Since we want to make it home before this b-ball game gets out next door.
Man, just excited. This major was exciting. I mean, it was fun. I think our next big one is what? Vegas?
I think so. DreamHack Vegas?
Yeah.
That's just Vegas. In a couple of weeks, right?
The lineups are there. We got the casters announced. It's going to be...
Who's the big guys?
The big guys on this one. Let me see. I wrote some of this down here. We got Machine. We got On Fire. We got Anders and Semlers. Sadakis, Henry G, Spunjay, and Thorin. That'll be a fun one. I hope they put them together. YNK and Moses.
Oh, wow. Go figure. It's good to see new
faces. Apology, too. So that'll be good.
It's good to see new faces in esports. It's always good to see that.
It'll be fun. It'll be a fun one.
It always is. Just like the show. Just like the Center Ring, TCR. At the Center Ring on Twitter. If you want to give us a follow, tell your friends, tell your families. We appreciate it. Let us know what's up. You can always join us on our Discord. I'll post the link here on Twitter and pin it so that way anyone can see there. We're always active in Twitter, except for Anuj, because for whatever reason, he's too good for our Discord.
I joined it the other day.
You did. You did, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But we always got discussion going on there about whatever and anything there. Check us out on our website, tcr.gg, of course. My Twitter's at Pirate Mushroom. You can find Brett at Dallas Homer. And Anuj is at @spiffy_VR.
Correct? Yes, sir.
At Dallas Homer.
Right.
No numbers, no fancy things there. No.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And of course, though, the show is at The Center Ring on Twitter. Let us know what you think of it. If you have any ideas, we are always taking ideas. I know one of these days we're going to talk about mobile esports and where mobile games have a place in esports. We're not too nose up about anything here. But again, thank you so much for listening to episode 49. Episode 50 is next week. It's a big milestone, I guess, if you want to think 50 is one. Until then, take it easy, and we'll see you next time.